Chapter 12. The delicious aroma of Perkin coffee teased my eyes open on Monday morning. Glancing out of the window, I saw that the sun was not yet up, although the rooster in the chicken yard certainly was awake. Over and over he voiced his enthusiasm for a new day. Yesterday had been just as busy for my mother as it was for me. How did she maintain her energy and wake up early every morning? At the moment, she was undoubtedly sitting downstairs with her cup of Folgers, her Bible open on the kitchen table. "I need to have my daily spiritual vitamins," she had told me more than once. Her complete confidence in God made more and more sense to me. After Jake's death, and actually even before his death, God seemed to be far away. Why had the Lord taken my husband, this man I loved with all my heart, and left me to struggle on without him? It was a slow process, but little by little, I was learning to trust God again. Sometimes my life with Jake seemed unreal, as if it had never happened or had been a dream. At other times, something happened that brought him sharply into focus. Life with Jake had been exciting and fun. His impromptu bouquets of flowers, a mysterious drive to a new place he had found for a moonlight dinner, trips to the seashore or to the mountains, all of these had been part of those magical years. Immediately, our new preacher popped into my mind. Without doubt, Trace was attractive and intriguing. However, I did not want to become entangled in an emotional triangle. Grant loved me. I knew he did. And I loved Grant, too. Unbidden, a little voice seemed to whisper, "But how much, Darcy?" Scooting Jethro off my pillow, I yawned, stretched, and swung my feet to the floor. Enough quandaries. I needed at least 2 cups of coffee for my brain to function properly. Besides, there were some things I wanted to discuss with my mother. Jethro glared at me and stalked in regal dignity into the hall. That cat must have been descended from royalty. Such an attitude. Going to my closet, I reached for a pair of blue jeans and a red and white striped sleeveless shirt. I pulled my hair into a high ponytail, slipped into some flip-flops, and hurried downstairs. "Good morning, sleepyhead," Mom said, smiling. She closed her Bible, went to the cabinet, and took down another cup. I filled the cup and sat down. "It really isn't so late. It's just that you are an early bird." "You know how it is. Once my eyes pop open, there's no getting them shut again. Besides, I wanted to think about a few things and pray. Prayer is the best way to start the day." Ah, that first sip of Folgers tasted as good as it smelled. "I want to talk to you too, Mom. The housewarming went off well, in spite of the storm, don't you think?" She nodded. "Yes, I enjoyed having everyone here, seeing old friends and meeting new ones, but taking that evening stroll might not have been such a good idea." It was Amy's plan. She thought it would be interesting, and it certainly was that. "Do you think that was really the scream of a mountain lion we heard? It sounded awfully close."
"Yes, I do," Mom said. "We know some still live in these parts, although lots of people think they are all gone."
"Something else happened on that ill-fated walk. Did you think you saw something white drop out of the cottonwood, or was that my imagination?"
Mom laughed. "Yes, I saw it, but I'm pretty sure it was just a dead limb that fell off when a gust of wind caught it."
Swallowing my coffee, I said, "You're probably right, but I doubt that any of our little group of explorers would believe it." Mom laughed.
"They did look scared when they got back to the house. I noticed that most of them left pretty quickly."
"I've never liked that old graveyard," I said. "I know it's silly, but it gives me the shivers. Maybe it's that one lonely grave without any headstone. Do you think we should put up something to mark that grave?" Mom looked down at her coffee cup and spoke in a low voice.
"That's a good idea. Everyone deserves to have their final resting place remembered. I don't believe in ghosts, Darcy. I think the only haunts in that cemetery would be the bad memories associated with it. Cemeteries are lonely, sad places, and for that reason I don't like to go to them."
She was silent for so long, I was afraid my talk of unmarked graves had upset her. If she was going to worry about it, I would drop the subject. Forcing myself to sound a lot cheerier than I felt, I grinned and said, "When that limb blew off the tree, it was the last straw. Notwithstanding the mountain lion and the spookiness and the rain that caught us, it was a great day and evening, with hearing Trace preach and having everyone out here last night." My mother gave me what I've always called her straight look. I became familiar with it as a teen when I stayed out too late on a date and she waited up for me. "What do you think of our new preacher?" she asked. "Trace Hughes? Well, I think he's very talented. He can sure play a mean guitar, and he has a nice voice."
"And a charming southern drawl and courtly manners. It's too bad that Grant couldn't be here last night."
My face began to feel uncomfortably warm. "Speaking of Grant, I wonder if he ever caught up with Jasper?" I asked, changing the subject abruptly.
"Pat said he hasn't. I'm really sorry that boy decided to go streeling off somewhere just at the time that poor man was found dead at Old String's place," Mom said, "especially since his knife was found there. Makes him look guilty."
The word streeling brought back memories. Grinning, I said, "I haven't heard streeling since Dad used to tell me when I was a kid not to go streeling off and get lost." Mom smiled.
"I guess he could have said not to go roaming off or strolling off. I learned lots of Irish words after I married Andy Tucker."
Dad was Irish through and through. "But getting back to Jasper, surely you don't think he killed that poor man?"
Mom snorted and got up to refill her cup. "No, I sure don't. I've known Jasper all his life, and although he may be a trifle strange, there's not a mean bone in his body."
I toyed with my cup, turning it around in a circle as I thought through my next words. "Somebody, though, killed that man. Grant thinks it was a knife wound, and I'm afraid he is sure it was Jasper's knife. He hasn't told me Doc McCauley's verdict, or if they've found out the dead man's name. What if..." I looked up at Mom standing by the stove. I didn't want to scare her, but she needed to be more suspicious. She was entirely too trusting.
"Well," Mom interrupted, "I think it was probably a drifter, somebody passing through, maybe somebody the dead man had met who didn't like him. It may be that we'll never know any more about it."
Scooting back my chair, I stood up to face her. "But what if it was somebody here in Levi? In fact, Mom, what if the murderer was one of the people here at our housewarming last night?" She pressed her index finger against the side of her mouth, a habit she had when she was upset.
"I just can't believe that somebody with meanness on their mind would have dared come out in public to a get-together. I'd think he'd be many miles away by now."
"You know that some of our guests were strangers. Maybe they came to hear what was being said about the murder or something."
"Next, you'll be telling me the killer was somebody we know, one of our neighbors or friends," Mom scoffed.
"And that is a possibility. It has certainly happened before," I said. Mom shook her head.
"Maybe you should let well enough alone, dear daughter. I'm sure Grant and Jim will find out who killed that poor man. You remember, Darcy, that each time we've dipped our oar into a problem here in town, we've found ourselves in a heap of trouble."
"I've been thinking about something falling out of the tree in the old cemetery last night and my feeling that I wasn't alone. What if somebody was there and heard us coming and climbed that tree? What if he knocked down a limb and that's what fell?" Mom shook her head and sighed.
"You won't be satisfied until you go back to the cemetery and check it out. I don't think anybody was up in that tree. I think the wind blew the limb down, but if you want to go back and look around, I'll go with you."
As it turned out, we didn't have time to follow through on our good intentions. Mom can dish up a breakfast that cannot be ignored. I had finished bacon, blueberry pancakes, orange juice, and coffee, loaded the dishes into the dishwasher, and was about to head out the door to the cemetery when the phone rang. It was Grant's secretary, Doris Elroy, and she had a strange request.